Luke chapter 1 and verse number 39. And Mary arose in those days and went into the hill country with haste into a city of Judah and entered into the house of Zacharias and saluted Elizabeth. And it came to pass that when Elizabeth heard the salutation of Mary, the babe leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Ghost. And she spake out with a loud voice and said, Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb. And whence is this to me that the Lord, the mother of my Lord, should come to me? For lo, as soon as the voice of thy salutation sounded in mine ears, the babe leaped in my womb for joy. And blessed is she that believed, and for there shall be a performance of those things which were told her from the Lord. Look at verse 44. For lo, as soon as the voice of thy salutation sounded in mine ears, the babe leaped in my womb for joy. Look, if you will, over to chapter 2 in Luke and look at verse number 10. We'll read just this one verse, verse 10. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. And then if you'll back up a couple books, Matthew chapter number 2, Matthew chapter number 2, and I'll direct you to the Christmas story that's found there, Matthew chapter 2, and again, we'll read just one verse for now, Matthew chapter 2, and if you'll look at verse number 10, Matthew 2, 10. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. Heavenly Father, thank you for this time of year, and thank you for all that it invokes in us. Lord, thank you for the opportunity, the privilege to set a day aside and just recognize and remember and celebrate the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, may this be a month that is pleasing to you in all that we say and all that we do. And Lord, that we would be able to bring you the maximum amount of glory through this Christmas season, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. And you may be seated. We read in Luke 1:44, For lo, as soon as the voice of thy salutation sounded in mine ears, the babe leaped in my womb for joy. Luke chapter 2, verse 10, And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. Then in Matthew 2, verse 10, When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. Because Thanksgiving came on the last Thursday of November this year, we're going to have to do a quick turnaround because the Christmas season is quickly upon us. Here it is, December 1st. Fall decorations at the Ross household will be taken down tomorrow, and Christmas lights and brights will take their place. We need to get right into the red, white, and green spirit because, after all, there's only 24 shopping days until Christmas. So this morning, I'd like to officially kick off the Christmas season here at Blessed Hope Baptist Church. Please, this morning, with God's help, your prayers, I want to preach a Christmas message on this first day in December. I do love the Christmas season. I'm already catching myself humming Christmas carols. Come on, anybody else guilty of that? All right, you're doing it? All right. Yep, and scratching down gift ideas for the wife, the daughters, the grandchildren. I'm already mentally trying to justify eating an entire box of chocolate-covered cherries sometime this month. And I think the best thing to do is just do it all at once. It's better to ruin just one day than it is to stretch it out over a week's time. So I think I'll just, that's my strategy for now. I sorted through and laid out my Christmas LP records. Yes, LP records. Amen. And I'm listening to them while I'm in my shop and have been this month as I've been out there working in my workshop. This year, Lord willing, we'll celebrate the Christmas Day in Sacramento, California. Did I tell you this yet? We're going to fly out Christmas Eve to be with Tab and AJ. They always bring their family home for Christmas, but because they purchased a house and it cost them every cent that they had and will ever have in the future. And there's four of them now to buy plane tickets for since Jesslyn turned two. So we're going to, for a change, go out there. But I have no idea how to celebrate Christmas in California. I mean, do you decorate palm trees? Is that what you do? I mean, short sleeves and sandals on Christmas Day just seem a little bit Scroogey to me. And, you know, you go out there And it's not the Grinch that steals Christmas, it's the weatherman that steals Christmas out in California. I mean, after all, a Christmas day with no chance of Christmas snow, no chance. Would you pray for a miracle? Wouldn't that be cool if it snowed on Christmas Day in Sacramento? I mean, no snow, it seems unnatural. I mean, maybe it should be illegal not to have snow on Christmas Day. But Christmas time just makes me happy. It's a time, I think, that is infused with joy. We read the word joy 3 times. I hope that joy starts for you today. All right? Don't take a couple, 3 weeks to get it started. Let's start it today. See, there's 2 Christmas stories in the Bible. One's found in Luke chapter 1 and 2, and the other in Matthew chapter 2. 3 times in these stories, we will find the word J-O-Y, joy, in our King James Holy Bible. This morning, we will look at these 3 verses, and then I want to preach on the subject of the joys of Christmas, the joys of Christmas. And I think that we're going to learn a formula, too, if you'll listen, and it will help you not only to fully enjoy the Christmas season, but I think it'll be a great formula for enjoying life and keeping joy in your heart all through the year. First verse I want you to look at is Luke 1:44. If you're back there, Luke 1:44. And lo, as soon as the voice of thy salutation sounded in mine ears, the babe leaped in my womb for joy. Let me give you a little formula. I want you to take note of the opening first 3 points here. Number one, there was joy in the anticipation of the event. There was joy in the anticipation of the event. This verse comes in the middle of a story about 2 women who were both expecting a baby. These babies were special because both were a miracle. Elizabeth, you see, was barren and could not have children, and yet an angel appeared unto her and promised that God was going to give her a preacher son, a prophet, and that her preacher son would be the one who prepared Israel for the coming of the Messiah. Now, the other young lady's Mary. She was a young betrothed virgin who also was visited by an angel. And you talk about a miracle. The angel told her that she would be overshadowed by the Holy Ghost and that the Messiah, the Savior of the world, would be placed inside of her. Mary was to give birth to Jesus, the Son of God, but at this time, in this moment, that was in the future for both of them. See, there was joy when these 2 women got together. The joy was because both carried inside of them life. The joy at this time was an anticipation of what was yet to happen. The excitement shared by 2 women who were looking forward to motherhood and looking forward to all that God had in store for them and their baby boys. We've experienced some of that at Blessed Hope Baptist Church this year. We've shared the blessings of this year, the anticipation as God has blessed some of our young couples with children this year. The announcement that someone is expecting a baby brings immediate joy. They haven't even had the baby yet, but just the anticipation of a baby that's on its way brings joy not only to the hearts of that family, but the hearts of our entire congregation. Even though the baby has not yet been born, the joy starts immediately. Why? Listen to this, don't miss it. Because there is joy in the anticipation of the birth. We have got to experience that in 2019 with 3 of our couples already. We experienced the anticipation. Then we also was blessed to experience the actual event. Josh and Don Davis, God gave them little Solomon back in April. And then Christina and Levi, little Judson in August. And then just recently, Brother Chad, Sister Rachel, little Lydia was just born. And you know what? Remember back when they announced it? And you know what, folks? We didn't get happy. So, well, you know what? Let's not smile until they're born. Immediately we were happy. I mean, how many times if you ask these ladies or somebody come to them at Blessed Hope Baptist Church and say, well, how long is it? And when's your due date again? And man, it's getting close and we're excited for you. And so we've had that experience 3 different times. We still are in anticipation of other births that are on the calendar and on the schedule here. Ryan and Abigail Tharp are due this month. And then Jared and Sarah Wilkes are due in June. Brian and Mandy April due in Brian and Mandy Morris due in April. Man, I was doing so well there. And what a blessing! Folks, are you understanding this? I want to teach you, if you will, let me this morning, how to have joy all the time. I want to teach you a little formula for being a happy Christian, a joyful Christian. The first way that God gives us joy is in the anticipation of the event. We received a Thanksgiving blessing. I mentioned it to our young adult class, and I think I sent it out on our prayer train as a praise report. But Tabitha and AJ, they sent us a text on Thanksgiving Day, and she was wearing a t-shirt. And did you see the picture? And I don't know where these kids get these ideas nowadays, but on the t-shirt it said on Thanksgiving Day, what did it say again? What's that? The turkey ain't the only thing in the oven. That's what her shirt said. And so that's their way, weird ways of announcing babies nowadays. And so there you go. Now, AJ and Tab told me that not only is Tabitha expecting a baby, but the Nichols, Brother and Mrs. Nichols, have two daughters, Alicia and April, and they also have just recently announced that they're expecting babies. So they got two sisters out there and a sister-in-law, all due to give the Nichols three grandchildren, all born within 8-week time period. I promise you right now, joy has already started out there in California over the coming births of these babies. The anticipation of the birth of the Messiah did not start with the angelic announcement delivered to Mary and Joseph. See, most of us only get a 9-month prior announcement as to the birth. Do you realize that the anticipation had been building for the coming of the Messiah since Genesis chapter 3, when mankind fell into sin? And God gave this promise as he placed a curse upon the serpent. And the Lord God said unto the serpent, because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle and above every beast of the field, and upon thy belly shalt thou go, and dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between her seed and thy seed and her seed. And it shall bruise thy head, but thou shalt bruise his heel. You know, all the way back from Genesis chapter 3, we've had listed in the Old Testament prophecies concerning the coming Messiah. Back in Micah, we are told he was going to be born in Bethlehem. And these prophecies concerning the birth and then the life and the death and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ fills the Old Testament. Over 100 Old Testament prophecies. In Isaiah chapter 7, we're told he was born of a virgin. And then in Genesis, and he was prophesied to be a descendant of Abraham. Genesis 49 of the tribe of Judea. Of Judah. In 2 Samuel chapter 7, he was going to be of the house of David. You know that Herod killing the infants was prophesied by Jeremiah in Jeremiah chapter 31. The idea that they would escape to Egypt and taken to Egypt, Hosea 11:1. Heralded by the messengers of the Lord, John the Baptist, his ministry was predicted in Isaiah chapter 40 and Malachi chapter 3, that Jesus would be anointed with the Holy Spirit of God, Isaiah chapter 11, that he would preach the gospel, the good tidings of the kingdom of God, Isaiah 61, that he would perform miracles, Isaiah 35, that he would cleanse the temple, Malachi chapter 3, that he would have a ministry in Galilee, Isaiah chapter 9, that he would enter into Jerusalem, riding on a colt, Zacharias 9:9, that he would first be presented himself as king 173,880 days from the decree to rebuild the temple, Daniel chapter number 9. It was prophesied that he would be rejected by the Jews in Psalms 118. The type of death, that he would die a humiliating death, Psalms 22. It would involve rejection, Isaiah 53. Betrayal by a friend, Psalms 41. Sold for 30 pieces of silver, Zacharias chapter 11. Silence before his accusers, Isaiah 53. That he would be mocked, Psalms 22. Beaten, Isaiah 52. Spit upon, Isaiah chapter 50. Piercing his hands and feet, Psalms 22. Being crucified with thieves, Isaiah 53. Praying for his persecutors, Isaiah 53. That his side would be pierced, Zechariah chapter 12. That he would be given gall and vinegar to drink in Psalm 69. That he would have no broken bones, Psalms 37. Buried in a rich man's tomb, Isaiah chapter 53. Casting lots for his garment, Psalms 22. that he would rise from the dead, Psalms chapter number 16, that he would ascend into heaven, Psalms 68, that he would sit down at the right hand of God, Psalms 110. Folks, listen, there has been an announcement, an anticipation about this birth all the way back from the first weeks of creation. The joy that comes with the anticipation of the event. Why do we find joy in the Christmas holiday season? Because of the buildup, the time of anticipation before it becomes a reality. You see, folks, there's joy in looking ahead. There's joy in the preparation. There's joy in the decoration. There's joy in the list making and the meal planning and the shopping and in the wrapping and in the sneaking and the shaking and the guessing of what might be under the Christmas tree. All that joy is in anticipation of the event. That's number one. I'm giving you a formula. Number one, there was joy in the anticipation of the event. Number two, we read Luke 2:10. And there was joy in the experiencing of the event. And the angel said unto them, fear not, for behold, I bring unto you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. And that was the message that was given on the night that the birth actually finally took place. And so here we read back in Luke chapter 2. If you want to sneak back there with me, I want to read just a little bit of that. In Luke chapter 2, we see something interesting, the way the chapter starts, Luke chapter 2, verse 1. Notice this, and it came to pass in those days. Look at verse number 6. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. This was what they had been anticipating. It finally came. The day finally arrived. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And see, folks, there's a celebration about to break out. Why? Because that which they have been anticipating now has become a reality. Lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. Why? For unto you is born, there it is, this day in the city of David, a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And so there is joy that we can receive in the anticipation of an event. There is joy that we receive in the experiencing of the event. And then I took you back to Matthew chapter 2 and verse number 10. And we read this. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. There was also joy in the aftermath of the event. Now, folks, we go back and say, well, let's go back and read the Christmas story as found in Matthew chapter 2. And yes, that certainly is part of the story, the broader story of the birth of Christ. But this event in Matthew chapter 2 that happened with the wise men, this happened at least a year after the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. The wise men were not there to experience the event, okay? They were not present the day Christ was born. Yet here we are over a year, some people say almost up to 2 years, past that event, and guess what? It is still producing joy. Are you getting it? Are you absorbing this? See, there's joy in the anticipation. There was joy in the anticipation of the birth. There was joy in the birthday. But there's also joy in the aftermath of the birth. And all of you couples that have experienced this in the last few years, you know what? You remember when you realized, gentlemen, you came home and your wife looked at you and said, guess what? And then the joy of that anticipation began. And then finally the day came and we usually get a message over the prayer chain, pray for sister so-and-so and brother so-and-so. They headed to the hospital. And you know, I'm when that happens, I don't know about you, but about every 15 minutes after that, I'm checking my phone, I'm waiting for the update. And then the announcement of the birth comes, and oh my goodness sakes, what a happy time. And you know, then there's that first Sunday where they bring them to the church, and then pastor gets them up here and puts the kid up here, and everybody oohs and ahs. And you know what, we just soak it in, because the day that we anticipated was finally arrived. But aren't you glad the joy doesn't stop there? Matter of fact, most of the joy comes in the aftermath of the event. Every single day, And I think you young couples need to know what a blessing your children are to Blessed Hope Baptist Church, especially to those of us that are in the grandpa and grandma phase of life. I just love sitting at the back of our church and watching all of the young children run around here and carry on. And, you know, I can remember back when, you know what, we were just anticipating you. And then I can look back and say, I remember when you came. But you know what? From that day forward, they continue to be a blessing in our life. And the aftermath of the event, you can bring joy in the aftermath of the event. Preacher, we can learn something here, can't we? Sure can. Let me give you some things to ponder and think about as we launch into December 1st. What can we learn from this? We learn, number one, the formula for enjoying life. I'm going to give you here a formula for enjoying life. Preacher, I don't have a lot of joy in my life. Well, you just learned how you can. I'm telling you, you just learned how you can. You see, you experience joy three different ways. You experience joy in looking forward to something that's going to happen. Then you experience joy when it does happen. And then you experience joy as you look back on the aftermath and enjoy the memories of the event long after it has happened. See, joy comes from anticipating an event, and then it comes from experiencing an event, and then joy comes from the aftermath of the event. And this formula still works today. I do this every year, but I get to the first of the year, and I'm up here trying to help the calendar market, you know, and I'm telling you, folks, listen to me. Live on purpose. Live on purpose. Say, preacher, you seem to be, for the most part, a happy person. I have a lot of joy in my life. You know why? Because there's a lot of things right now I'm anticipating already, and I'm experiencing the joy of anticipating things that are about to happen, going to happen this month, going to happen the first of the year. Sometimes I just flip ahead in my calendar, just look at things and just smile, and I receive joy because, you know what? Hey, I haven't experienced it yet, but I can't wait till that happens. I'm also this month going to experience a lot of events that I have been anticipating for some time. But then I'm also looking back into this last year, and I'm drawing a lot of joy from things that have already happened that, yes, at one time I anticipated and I experienced, but you know what? That joy continues on in my life because of what God did and the way He did it. Folks, can I tell you this? Why don't you plan ahead? Let me just say this. Why don't you live life on purpose? You know what? What are you looking forward to that's good and wonderful and godly? Enjoy the anticipation of it. Enjoy the planning. Enjoy the preparation. Then enjoy the event. And then after the event, enjoy the memories of the event. Well, preacher, I tell you what, I could be a happy person if somebody would just come and plan a bunch of things for me. I will give you just a thought. If you're waiting for that person to come in your life, you're going to be waiting for a long time. Why don't you take control of your own life? Stop sitting around waiting for somebody else to create joy and happiness in your family or in your personal life, and you start planning things on purpose. Plan things on purpose. So we learn from this formula, we learn the formula for enjoying life. I'm going to go to number two. We also learn the formula for an extraordinary life. Now, listen very carefully what I'm going to say. Because the little formula I just gave you, lost people can follow that formula. Lost people can plan a bunch of things for 2020 or 2020. They can plan a bunch of things and anticipate those things and enjoy those things and then look back and enjoy those the memories of those things. Well, preacher, what makes the Christian life an extraordinary life? You see, our events are different than the world's events. The world seeks its joy from temporal pursuits and fleshly pleasures. They may find fleeting happiness in these things, short seasons of pleasure and sin and selfishness, but they never experience a sustainable supernatural joy in their life. You see, the Christians are giving a better way to live. The extraordinary life uses the same formula as the world uses, but the events that we look forward to, the events we most enjoy, the events we look back upon as meaningful and miraculous, did not involve sin and selfishness and sorriness. See, Christians live differently than the lost people. Our joy comes in serving the Lord. And they'll never understand this, but it comes from sacrificing for others. Our events are spiritual and meaningful and eternal. And because of that, our lives are exceptional and extraordinary. You see, folks, Christians, we have weekly events that bring us joy, and we go through this cycle every single week. You know what? We look forward to church. And we look forward to every single service. I mean, I look forward to Sunday school. There's something wonderful about our Sunday school hour here at Blessed Old Baptist Church. For those of you that miss our Sunday school hour, I'm glad that you come. I'm glad that you're here this morning. But I think you're missing one of the greatest hours of the week at Blessed Old Baptist Church. I enjoy watching those buses unload. I enjoy opening assembly. I enjoy watching those children sing. I enjoy when they hold up their Bibles and sing the B-I-B-L-E. Yes, that's the book for me. I stand alone on the Word of God, the B-I-B-L-E. I love recognizing the birthdays, even though it's one of the most confusing times. And I've lost control of it so many times here at Blessed Old Baptist Church. You know, some of these kids have a birthday almost every single month, But they stay basically the same age, so far that's worked out okay. But I enjoy that. I watch our Sunday school team. By the way, Sunday school teachers, you're doing a great job. I prayed down the list of our Sunday school teachers this week, and I think we have some of the most extraordinary Sunday school teachers in America, and I mean that with all of my heart. These folks put their heart into those classes. And thank you for those. We got an army of helpers that show up, and you know what? They just help do crowd control, whatever the teacher needs, helps pass out this and watch for the quiet seat prize. And you may not feel like it's a big deal. That's an important thing. That makes the difference in the kids learning or in utter chaos in some of our classes. And so thank you for that. That's an extraordinary. I look forward to it. I'm preparing for my young adult class, and I'm thinking ahead, and I'm praying for my young adults, And I'm always thrilled to get out there, and we have fun, and we laugh, and we tell stories, and we teach a little Bible, and we do some things. We do some things, and it's a good time and a sweet time and just a family time for us. Look forward to Sunday school. We look forward to it. Don't you understand that I'll get home, you know, we'll prepare for tonight, and then by the time I go to bed tonight, wake up Monday morning, you know what I'm already doing? I'm anticipating next Sunday school class. I'm already looking forward to it again. See, in the Christian life, there's some positive, good things to look forward to. I love Sunday morning service. Sunday morning service here is different. It's very unique. You know, this is the only service where we take all of the children and all of the, primaries and all of the junior kids, and they're out of the service. And you know, there's a different flavor to Sunday morning and an excitement to Sunday morning. And honestly, the preaching and the sermons are a little bit different on Sunday morning. And the singing, the choir sings, and I love it. I love Sunday. I anticipate it. You see, folks, I've enjoyed this morning. I've enjoyed being in church. But I didn't just enjoy it when it started. I've been enjoying it through the anticipation of it all week long. I love Sunday night church. I do. Sunday. Let me encourage you again. 6 o'clock on Sunday night. I'm going to tell you, we don't wear people out. You know, it wouldn't be wrong if we went 2 hours. I mean that. I go to a lot of churches Sunday night where their services are 2 hours. We don't wear our people out. We come in here at 6 o'clock. Honestly, most Sunday nights, 10:15 after 7, people are heading towards the door and heading out. We don't wear you out. But I'm going to tell you something. Again, it's got a whole different flavor. Like, for instance, right now, we have some of our folks that's not in the Sunday morning service because they're ministering to children's church and primary church. In our Sunday school class, even my young adult class, I don't have all the young adults because a lot of them are teaching classes and helping in different areas. But, you know, Sunday night's just kind of like, okay, everybody's in here now. I know we have some folks that are in the nursery, but for the majority of the people, that's kind of when the whole family's together. And again, this is the preaching changes a little bit. You know, we serve a little bit more meat. Come on now. This is the crowd that's come back and showed they're serious about the Christian life. And you know what? They want to go to a higher level, and they're willing to sacrifice more for the Lord. And you say, well, there's nothing that the Bible says anything about Sunday night. There is something the Bible says, not forsake the assembling of yourselves together, as the manner of some is. And it says, and much more so as we see the day approaching. So don't tell me it's not unbiblical to meet more than one time a week. I think Christ's coming so soon, maybe we ought to be meeting a lot more than we are right now. Much more so as we see the day approach. You know, what I'm saying is this. You know what? Does church bring you joy? Well, let me tell you probably why. If you're not having a good time now, it's because you weren't having a good time Friday thinking about it. You're not having a good time now because you didn't spend any time Wednesday and Thursday praying over it. I mean, you didn't walk around. Listen, you didn't spend any time yesterday trying to invite people and anticipate somebody might be coming today. What I'm saying is if you start ahead in with the joy of anticipation, the joy of the event just is a normal, natural thing. And so it's fun. This is what we do as Christians. You know what we do? Our joy comes from things that are different than what the world tries to find joy in. I love looking forward in anticipation to the church. I like Wednesday night. Wednesday night's a special time. Blessed Oak Baptist Church. Again, it's got a flavor all its own. I'm so excited our young people are out there in the Children's Bible Club. I'm so thankful that our young people are being trained in music. And boy, I'll tell you what, Brother Nathan, Miss Lauren, they're doing an amazing job with these young people. And they're up here and they're singing out for the Lord. And they're going to grow up thinking it's normal and natural that when it comes singing time to stand up straight and tall and lift their voices and sing loud and be happy. And they're being a part of that. And Brother Gordon and Miss Rachel taking on the Children's Bible Club and the helpers that we have there, the Gambles helping out there and others. And I'm so thankful for that. But Wednesday night's got a flavor all of its own, because then you know what we come in and you know what we do? We just, for the most part, most Wednesdays, we just go to the Bible and do a verse-by-verse study through the Word of God. And we do that for, 35, 40 minutes. And then you know what we do as a church? We gather together on our knees in groups. And I think it's one of the happiest, I mean this, I don't know if there's a moment or a time in the assembly of Blessed Hope Baptist Church that God is more happy or more pleased than when he looks down on Wednesday night and sees the majority of the congregation of Blessed Hope Baptist Church together in one place, in one accord, on their knees, praying for God's power and blessing upon the Sunday that's coming. And folks, listen to me, it's you know what? I look forward to it. I look forward to it. What are you thinking about on Monday? Wednesday night's only 2 days away. What are you thinking about on Tuesday? You know what? Tomorrow night's Wednesday night. What do you get up and think about on Wednesday? Man, we get to. Listen, there's joy in the anticipation. There's joy in the event. Then I come home after a Wednesday night service, and you know what? I have joy in the aftermath. I have joy because I was with God's people, my brothers and sisters in Christ. I have joy because of something that someone shared with me in the foyer and something that I can pray with them about. I had joy because if somebody comes and brings good news and maybe somebody else comes and brings a heartache, but you know what? At least they come, and at least I have a chance to help, and at least I have a chance to pray. And so you think about the formula, folks. I'm giving it to you. I know the world, lost people aren't going to understand these things. We live differently on purpose. We live differently. See, we have weekly events that bring us joy. Church attendance, bus ministry. I mean, we have a whole army of people in this room that, you know what? They'll drop off the last kid this afternoon, and you know what? They'll come in, and they're going to be a little more tired on Sunday night than some of the rest of us. But you know what? By Monday morning, you know what they're already doing? They're already thinking about that one that didn't come, or that brand new family and how they need to follow up. And you know, they're already praying and preparing and looking towards Saturday. And many of them don't even wait till Saturday. They'll pick up the phone and call this young person or that young person or this family if they miss. They'll go by and see them during the week. Folks, listen, I'm telling you, there's an extraordinary way to live your life. And it's not all about just planning stuff for you so you can have fun in the world and try to find the joy that you could have every single day serving the Lord Jesus Christ. But that's what we do. That's what we do. Bus ministry, Sunday school teachers, I already mentioned that, as they invest not just on a Sunday morning, but all through the week, praying for and preparing for their Sunday school classes, junior and primary church workers that are right now, people that are practicing special music and have been already in anticipation, going through, praying over, picking out. They'll begin to practice for next Sunday. Today, people will be practicing today in anticipation of having an opportunity to bring glory to God. Soul winning, looking forward to it. Every week we look forward to these things. Every month families are preparing for a nursing home service. There's service opportunities that come our way depending on what's going on. Christmas banquets coming on and the different things that are coming. Divine appointments, opportunities to be a blessing. Listen, we live in anticipation of opportunities, and then we experience those opportunities, and then we look back at the blessings of being involved in those opportunities, and it gives us a heart of joy. Gives us a heart of joy. I flipped back through the yearly calendar and looked at what happened here in 2019, and I didn't write down everything, but I wrote down a lot of the things, and I thought back, you know what I did? I just this morning went and just had the joy of the aftermath. I thought, you know what? Think about all that we got experience here as a church family in 2019. I looked on January 1st, 2019. It said Abortion Awareness Project, and you know what? One more time, you know what we did? An army of people showed up out here, lined up. Boy, they've got it down to an art now. They've got the tape measure. They've got it all measured out. Brother Gordon gets all that ready in advance. And all we got to do is just get in a line and be handed across. Children handed us crosses. Aren't you glad our young people are growing up with these memories? You know what? If you can take a couple steps and put a cross in the ground and take a rubber mallet and hit it two or three times, you can be involved in it. And you know what? To be able to put 1,000 crosses out there, you know what? I still enjoy the aftermath of the joy of being involved in that, and not just putting them in on January 1st, but many times in the month of January, slipping out there, sometimes after dark when nobody knows, and just praying amongst those crosses and asking God to stop this wickedness of abortion in America. I've seen the Abortion Awareness Project. I seen in January the Vision Night at Blessed Hope Baptist Church as I got up and announced about the Then Came Jesus theme and about having the Then Came Jesus testimonies. And then I began to look and flip back through the calendar, and I remember Courtney Lewis coming and sharing that amazing testimony, being raised on the south side of Chicago, and God bringing him back to the very neighborhood where he grew up, a hellion, and now he's there preaching the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. I got to think about Brother Yoder, and what a blessing. I'm telling you what, that man's testimony is amazing, but his spirit is so much more amazing. You know what, folks? Burton Gates came and he gave his testimony. I was gone that Sunday. Listen to me, I want to share something with you. I was gone out preaching that Sunday. Now, I have memories of where I preached, and I have memories of what I experienced, and I have memories that weekend of what God used me to do. But you know what I don't have memories of? Burton Gates' testimony. You say, well, preacher, you've listened to it on the... Yeah, I come home and I listen to it. Can I say this, folks? Stop using technology as an excuse to miss church, okay? Now, I didn't miss church. I was in church. But I'm just telling you, some of you have a memory that I don't have a strong memory of. And listen, don't miss out on what's going on around here at Blessed Hope Baptist Church. I don't think too many of you that missed that were out preaching that weekend, so... But you know, Burton Gates and Brother Gomez and Ryan Nez and Ron Comfort and Sam Gipp and Gail Ross, and we still are looking for, I'm still in anticipation of hearing Chris Dallas, and he'll come in January and finish our Then Came Jesus testimony. So I'm in anticipation, the joy of anticipation. Are you understanding this? I don't have any joy. What have you planned that really causes real Christian joy in your life? What did you do this year? Experience that brings real Christian joy, because if you plan those things and experience those things, you spend a lot of time looking back and you're still feeding off the joy of those things. It's a good way to live your life. It's the way to live an extraordinary life. I look back at last February, our missions emphasis month, and remember Brother McDonald, J.R. McDonald being here, and Tim Simmons, who we picked up for support, him and his dear wife going to Uruguay, and then Daryl Moore presenting the Agape Boys Home. We have opportunity to support them now, and Casey Davis, and planning on going to India. And what a blessing, because just a few months ago, I got an email, and there's him and his wife, their two little baby girls, and it's the last picture they're taking together in America as they're getting ready to get on a plane and go to India. And you know what I did? I looked at that picture, and I thought back of when he was here, and the aftermath of the joy of all of that, and getting to know them and still praying for them and reading their letters and the continuation of that joy in our lives. I looked at the calendar and saw the midwinter teen rally that our young people got to go on, and they have those memories, the aftermath of that joy. They got to look forward to it. They got to do it. And now they get to feed off of it. Operation Occupation Packet Party, and then March 1st we launch out. You know what? I'm going to be able to clock out by the end of March. Memories, Lord willing, of being able to finish two sections of our Operation Occupation, and that's something no one can take from me. And I've got special moments and memories of visits that God gave me, and divine appointments and opportunities to stand with an open Bible and win someone to the Lord Jesus Christ. What I'm telling you, folks, is you don't get that if you don't do that. And I look forward to it. I'm already looking forward to getting, I'm already back there saying, which which two sections am I going to do next year? Do I want to keep the same ones? Do I want to look? And I just go back there, and I'm already anticipating the opportunity of spreading the gospel. Think about the Young Fundamentalist Conference in Lexington. I got to go down just being a little part of that with our young people. And the Blessed Hope Baptist Church Couples Retreat. And I sat there and looked back and I smiled and remembered how much fun and what a good time God gave us. The Blessed Hope Baptist Church Hoosier Hospitality Meeting, Pastor Frank Wood. We got to hear preachers from all over Indiana. Pastor Frank Wood and then Pastor John Wilkerson and Jeff Jones and Gary Lovins and Stephen Ross and Steve Dameron and every one of those guys, different flavor, different ministry, but all old time religion, King James Bible, just loving God and serving, and they're part of Indiana. I looked back and I remembered spring roundup and children's parade and blast off Sunday and Easter balloon release, and I love the bus ministry Sunday. I thought about and was thankful for Brother Tim Russ. Again, I don't remember this because I wasn't here, but he came and he preached for you all on a Sunday so that your preacher could be in the Philippines with Cheryl and in that missions trip and Pastor Nono and, oh my goodness sakes, the time we had over there. Miracle of preaching to over 1,000 Filipino teenagers, seeing 200 of them come to Christ. The memory me and my wife have of standing on a beach and the sun going down and most of those 200 young people with their pastor going out into the ocean to be baptized and follow the Lord in believers' baptism. Woo! Amen. Come on now. Come on. Amen. Blessed Hope Baptist Church Youth Revival, what God did in the hearts of our young people this last spring, graduation, a miracle, Amelia made it, praise God. And I got that memory. I was there. I was a part of that. Mother's Day and Father's Day and VBS in between. I mean, red versus orange and all the craziness and over 20 young people coming to a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Missionary trip to the Indian Reservation, birthdays and wedding anniversaries and sword conferences and our men's fishing retreat. And you know what I do at the end of the year? I can go back. Listen, what's the world look at? Right. What's the, tailgating, getting drunk, right. Going out and doing a bunch of tomfoolery. Oh, this month I was fornicating with this person. Next month I was fornicating with this person. Come on now. See, folks, listen to me. It's not just a matter of following the formula. It's a matter of following the formula and investing in things that are eternal and pleasing to God. And the world is trying everything in the world to reproduce what they'll never have until they find the Lord Jesus Christ, until they start living for the Lord. And think about all the things that God allowed us to be a part of, Roaring Lion Sunday and Harvest Sunday and Fish Fry and Hog Roast. What a combination. I'm telling you, my system wasn't right for a week after that. And Fall Revival and discovering a worldwide unreached people group that I didn't know much about when Brother Canny came and he talked about the gypsies that were scattered across the world. Thanksgiving Eve service where I learned finally to appreciate peace. I mean, that was a miracle right there. You say, preacher, are we done yet? No, I'm still looking forward to Sword Sunday and Christmas caroling and Christmas cantata and a Christmas banquet. And I'm looking forward to 2020. And I'm already so excited about next year that I just want to tell you everything that's going to happen and everything that God's laid on our heart. Folks, listen to me. You know what? That's the best life. There's a formula we're taught here. You know what? Joy. Why is Christmas such a joyful time? If you think about it, what is different about this month that people are so much happier for the most part and joyful? You know why? Because they've got something they're looking forward to and preparing for. And then that they've got something that they experience. And then the aftermath, they go back and they look over and they feed off those memories. But that just shouldn't be a Christmas thing. That should be something that's going on in everyone's life. All of the time. So we learned the formula for enjoying life. We learned the formula for an extraordinary life. Let me close by saying this. We learned the formula for eternal life by looking at this Christmas story. See, for 4,000 years, the world anticipated the coming of the Messiah, the Savior of the world. Then the Christmas event occurred, and angels heralded his coming. Shepherds celebrated, and wise men struck out on their journey to find this newborn child. Now, 2,000 years later, think about this. There is still something miraculous and wonderful about the month of December. Why? Because we chose on the 25th of this month to celebrate the joy that was produced by the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. We are still enjoying the joy of the aftermath of that event. Say, why is it so special? Because, see, folks, yes, he was born, but he did not stay in a manger. He grew up and lived a perfect life as the Son of God. And he never sinned, which made him qualified to be the perfect sacrifice for our sins. And you know what? Here it is, all these years later, well over 2,000 years later, and the joy of that night is still spilling over into our lives today. Say, what has happened in the aftermath of that first Christmas, preacher? Millions and millions of people have been told the Christmas story and have the gospel preached unto them and have received Jesus Christ as their Savior. And guess what? I was one of them. What happened in the aftermath of Christ's death, burial, and resurrection? A young couple that were unsaved, 26 years of age, make a move from Greencastle to Brazil, Indiana, across the road from neighbors who were Christians, who did know about this joy. They begin to come across the street and invite Bob and Donna Ross to church. And you know the story. We've said it so many times, but it's okay to say it one more time. Amen. And you know what? My dad finally began to attend a revival meeting, and he went Monday night and Tuesday night and Wednesday night, and the growing conviction of God upon his life. By Thursday night when he got home, he said to God, he said, if you'll let me live through work tomorrow and let me get back to that church on Friday night, I'll get saved. God was merciful and spared him, gave him that opportunity. First note of the first verse of the invitation, he shuts his songbook, drops it on the pew, and heads up, and his life has never been the same. Why? Because of the joy that's still spilling over from what happened on that first Christmas season. Folks, can I say this? There's another coming of Christ that I'm looking forward to in anticipation. It's still ahead. It's the blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. I'm looking forward to Christ's coming. I'm living in the anticipation of the joy of his return. But one of these days, I'm going to experience that. Isn't that going to be something? You talk about something to talk about for all eternity. It's how the rapture happened, the way it happened. All of us telling our stories. Where were you? What was happening? What did you think? What in the world? And then for all eternity, the aftermath of Christ's coming. Do you know Jesus Christ is your Savior? If you do, then dedicate yourself or rededicate yourself to living the Christian life, because joy only comes. Now, you can get fleeting moments of happiness. I get it. You can get fleeting moments of happiness here and there by selling out to the world and trying to fill your life with all the things that the world can do for you. But I'm going to tell you something. If you get in the routine of a faithful Christian life, there's always stuff that we're anticipating that's bringing us joy. There's always things that we're experiencing every day that brings us joy. And then we have not a bunch of guilt. We don't have to live with the heavy hand of the Holy Spirit conviction upon our life because of all that we missed and all that we're not doing. But we continue to feed off the joy. So right now, I have a lot of joy. You say, why, preacher? Because I'm looking forward to a lot of things that already are bringing me joy just in anticipation. I'm experiencing something right now that I've been looking forward to all week, and it's bringing me joy. But you know what? I'm also looking back over 2019, and I just sit there and wipe tears away and say, Lord, thank you for letting me be involved in that, and thank you for letting me be a part of that, and thank you for letting me preach there, and thank you for meeting with us there, and thank you for what happened at Blessed Hope here. And you get back into the routine. I mean this, folks. Say whatever you want. You get back into the routine, and you get your heart right and your life right, and you get plugged back in. Let me tell you what's going to come. The joy of the Lord is going to come and flood your life. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for sending your Son. Lord, thank you for the King James Holy Bible, and three times in two Christmas stories we find J-O-Y. And Lord, how we study this and we think about it and we find the hidden Bible truths and precepts and formulas. And Lord, thank you. I look around and I think of so many families that have had so many blessings and so many things that we have spent this week thanking you for. But Lord, what's fun about life is that it's not all over yet. And Lord, there's things that we can experience every day if we will. There's things we can look forward to every day if we will. There's things that we can experience. There's things that we can remember that can bring us joy. Lord, help us to tap into it. Here we are, December 1st. December 1st. I mean, 24 more days and Christmas will be upon us. I pray for my people. I pray for these good people. The joy of the Lord every single day of this Christmas season. May it flood their heart and flood their soul. May this be a wonderful time, a happy time. We pray in Jesus' name.